Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're almost halfway through the book of Proverbs, and I hope it's been a good study for all of us. It has been for me, for sure. Last week, we went through Proverbs chapter 12, and the title of this message is How Do You Measure Up? The standard that we have is not your neighbor, it's not your coworker, it's not even a family member's God and His Word. That's the standard that we need to measure up to. And so we must measure our lives. And there were several points about this. In verses 1 through 8, we need to, a person is measured by their steps. And we need to have our steps measured by the Lord. A good man has his steps directed by the Lord. It says, so basically on what he knows. No, people act on their knowledge. If we have good spiritual knowledge, we'll make good spiritual decisions. If we have poor spiritual knowledge, we'll make poor spiritual decisions. Where he goes. You know a person where he by who he hangs out with and where he hangs out with. And a Christian that doesn't hang out in good places, there's something wrong. Their steps are not being ordered by the Lord. Where they stand tells an awful lot. What kind of stands a person takes talks about whether or not, talks about their relationship with God, with whom he shares his steps. And we went through there that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But boy, if you have a relationship that doesn't work in a marriage, that's terrible. It just causes constant strife. And so, how does your marriage, how does your family measure up? What you think? For as a man thinketh, there he goes, okay? And then what he leaves behind as a legacy. What kind of spiritual legacy are you going to leave behind? So, a man is measured by a person's steps. Secondly, we're measured by attitudes, and we'll have another lesson on that tonight, because this is kind of repetitive, but we need to learn it. We need to learn it. How do you think of yourself? How do you picture yourself is an important thing. Your attitude toward yourself tells a lot about your life. Your attitude towards your pets, even your fish, okay? How you take care of things. You know, we're supposed to be good stewards and all. And you know, the Bible says this, and everything, what? Give thanks. Do all things what? Heartily as to the Lord. That's even like feeding the fish. He said, you're off your rocker. No, everything, even the little things towards his land. You know, that talks about whether or not you appreciate what you have. You appreciate your pets. You appreciate your land. And then towards your heritage. Do you care what people think about when you pass? Have you thought about that? How do you want to be remembered? And how do you want to leave a legacy for your family? Towards his words. Towards his words. In verses 13 and 14 it says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. But the just shall come out of what? Trouble. And then verse 14 it says, a man shall be satisfied by the good of the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. So by his words, towards advice. Are you kind of a guy that likes, or a woman that likes to do it alone? Don't tell me what to do. I know everything. You need some help. Everybody needs advice. Right, Ricky? We all need advice. And we've been hearing about counsel and seeking out, and the multitude of counselors, their safety. And then how do you react? How you react to situations really reveals the inward you. So a person is measured by their steps. A person's measured by their attitudes. A person's measured by what they say. By what they say in truth. You know, the things that we speak should be truth. We don't hear that much on the TV. You will hear it out of God's Word. And so we need to be people of truth. Hereby we know the spirit of what? truth and the spirit of error. And tone. You know, sometimes how you say something is as important as what you say. Because your tone is whether or not that message is going to be received or not. And if you're just a crass individual, no one's ever going to listen to you. No one's going to be around you. Okay? We need to be good in tone. In timelessness. Will your advice... You know, how many times have you gone up to someone or someone come talk to you, and as soon as they left, you said, I'm glad that's over. There's no lasting impact. Folks, our words need to have lasting impact. We hold this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. And see, all these things are a picture of a godly and a spiritual life. In tenor. The tone is important, and then the way the words are chosen is important, which means you have to slow down and think before you speak and not just talk off the cuff. Every time people talk off the cuff, they have to go back and, well, that's not what I really meant. We see this all the time in our politicians. In test, do our words stand the test? And who's testing every... Well, the Bible says that we have to give account of what? Every idle word. And if we have to give account of every idle word, then every word we do is going to be tested by God. And then also in temperance. You know, there's sometimes there's a good time just to be quiet. Remember when Job's friends came by? You know, what did they do? They didn't speak for a whole week. They just sat down there and just kind of looked at each other. And then once they opened their mouth, then bad things started happening. They were all messed up. They weren't speaking truth. And then in the end, God has to set it right. Folks, let's think before we speak. Let's speak when it's appropriate. And let's speak as the Holy Spirit basically guides us to speak. So it's measured by a person's lips. And then lastly, it's measured by a person's results in governance. It says the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be under tribute, okay? It says in gladness, in graciousness, in gratefulness, and also in goodness. So how do you measure up? How do you measure up? You know, we must measure ourselves. The Bible says this in the New Testament. It says, if anyone, we should judge ourselves that we will what? Not be judged. So tonight... Continuing on the same vein. Going through Proverbs 13. Title of the lesson tonight, or the message tonight, is Life's Lessons. And the point is that right lessons learned lead to a right life. Right lessons learned lead to a right life. Now, God wants our obedience. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 through 26, in my study this week, I've come across this passage. And you know something? As we go through Proverbs, we heard wisdom lesson, wisdom lesson, wisdom lesson, wisdom lesson, the first 9 chapters, and they all were about the same things, right? No, Christ said, verily, verily. When God repeats himself, you need to listen. It's something that we need to do. Folks, we can never get enough of life's lessons from God. We can never get enough. So in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 through 26, this is what was happening in the nation of Israel. It says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be what? Well unto you. It's a simple thing. You want God to bless? Obey Him. Walk where He tells you to walk. Do what He tells you to do. That's what you need to do. Don't expect to do your own thing and get God's blessing. Right. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But they what? Hearken not. Now, how many here is hard-headed? I'm hard-headed. Come on! Everybody's hard-headed at one time or another, okay? Everywhere, but they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backward, not forward. See? Jesus said, if anyone puts his hand in the plow, looks back, what? not worthy of the kingdom of God. Folks, we got to be looking forward to the hope that's before us, not backward. If you dwell in the past, you'll repeat the past. You'll repeat the past. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt until this day. Now this is Jeremiah. This is before they go into Babylon. This is thousands of years. Okay? So, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearken not unto me. How many times? I've heard it all before. It doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Okay? We had a friend over at our last church. If your phone's ringing, pick it up. Okay?
Yeah.
Pick it up. They hearken not to me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. And you know something? We tend to go worse than the generation before us. You can look at that in our society today. Each year, we just kind of keep on getting a little bit further away from righteousness. And so, God wants our obedience. So tonight, in verses 1 through 9, we're going to see the basis, plural, for life. The basis, plural, for life. The first one is what you hear. What you hear and how you deal with what you hear determines your life direction. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son heareth or heedeth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. We've heard this over and over, and we talked about people who scorn. They don't want, it's their way or no way. Their way or no way. So the issue is, are you willing, do you have an open ear to God? Do you have an open ear to wisdom? We looked here in Jeremiah in that passage. He sent score after score after score of servants and prophets telling them God's way, and they would not what? Listen, they did not heed. And that led them to go into national captivity. So your basis for life is based on what you hear and how you react to it. Secondly, what you say. It's the same stuff, just packaged a little differently. But you know something? The basics of the Christian life do not change. They are the same. In Proverbs chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, it says, A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. You know, sometimes we heard the saying, you have to go what? Eat crow. Because you say the wrong things and you have to retract it, and it's a very distasteful thing. You just need to say good things in the first place. It says, a good man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the souls of the transgressor shall what? Eat violence. Now that's a pretty good choice. It's an obvious choice. Who would want to eat violence? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Let me repeat that again. He that keepeth his mouth under control keepeth his life. How many times have you wound up in situations that you didn't want to get into just because you opened your mouth? And then later on you say, well, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't gone there. It's too late after it happens. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips might have destruction. Might? No. Shall. We're going to see cause and effect here. So the issue is, do you open your mouth wide to violence? Or do you control yourself? Or do you keep this? This is wisdom, folks. So, the basis for life is based on what you hear and how you react to it. What you say reveals how you're living inside in the inward man. Thirdly, what you do. What you do. Matthew chapter 7, by their fruits ye shall what? know them. Verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth. Now, there's a lot of people out there too lazy to work, but they expect what? Everything. Okay? And this is someone who's not willing to put forth the effort, but they expect or they think they deserve stuff. Okay? Doesn't work that way. It's not biblical. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath what? Nothing. You put no effort in, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done, there's no crop. There is no result when nothing gets done. But the soul of the diligent. Now, we're just not talking about physical life here. We're talking about spiritual. Are we spiritually lazy, folks? Are we being spiritually lazy? Do we go out and we dig for the... Are we going out and digging for the deeper things of God? For the deeper truths? If you're not digging into God's Word and studying it and meditating on it and doing all the things we were talking about over the last couple weeks, then you're not going to get anything out of it. The Bible is not a novel. It is God's truth. Amen. And it's the basis for our life. For everything, for life and godliness. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, if you work diligently at a job, you get paid, you go down the store, you buy a lot of stuff at HEB, you eat. The same thing here. You open God's Word, you work it, you apply it in your life. You do what it says to do. You go where it says to go. You say what it says to say. You listen to what it says. And you'll grow spiritually. So what you do is a show of your basis for life. The next one is how you live. We always keep on coming back to this over and over again. Folks, we need this in today's day. There's not a lot of people living right. There's not a lot of people thinking right. Okay? There's not a lot of people doing right. It should not be mentioned among Christians. It says, how you live. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. A righteous man hateth lying. Now, if you hate lying, I guarantee you should never tell a lie. So if you have a habit, Christian, of lying, well, it's just a little white lie. No. Okay? If you have a habit of lying, you don't hate lying. So this verse is for you. So a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Nothing ever good comes out of it. Righteousness, just like he that keepeth his lips, keepeth his mouth, what? Keepeth his life. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the what? Way. What? The path that you should be on. The path that you should be on. But wickedness overthroweth or conquers or defeats the sinner or the one that does it. So is your life based on righteousness? Is your life based on being diligent? Is your life based on wisdom? Is your life based on doing good? Next, how you value things. How you value things. Verses 7 and 8 says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet have nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet has good riches. Here's the English of this. Here's the current thing. There's people that are poor in dirt, but they got everything because they want to keep up an appearance of being what? Wealthy. That's the first one. Maketh himself rich, has a lot of goods, but doesn't own a single one of it. All of his creditors do. Because he wants to keep up an appearance of being better than what he is. There are other people that basically have great value or great wealth, but they live like paupers. And we'll say, that's not too bad. But when you're doing it for the wrong reason, then it becomes an issue. See, the thing is, a Christian shouldn't care about how much we have or how much we don't have of wealth. The Christian should care about how much of God is in control of his or her life. And being poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. You know, Christ, the very first sermon he preached, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall see God and all this other stuff. This was the first thing Christ talked about, then we ought to listen to it. So, what do you value? Do you value things, or do you value God? Do you give the appearance? Do you give a true appearance of your life? Paul said, whatever state I'm in, to be what? Content. Or do we live a facade? There's a lot of people living a facade in the physical world. And unfortunately, I think there's people that live a facade in the spiritual world also. They say that they're something that they're not. It says the ransom of a man's life are his riches. He thinks he can buy his way out of anything. And we see that. You can see that in the news and see how the wealthy kind of get off from things because they can hire a good lawyer. But the poor heareth not rebuke because he has nothing. He has nothing. So how do you value things? How do you value things? And then lastly, how you shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Now, have you ever seen, you know, we've all had candles and all have fires. And you like watching the flames, you know, dance up and down. And that's a good feeling watching that, isn't it? It's comforting. That's the light of the righteous. It rejoices. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put or snuffed out. So are you a light for Jesus? Or do you need to be lit? Have you been snuffed out? I got great news. God can relight us. He can revive us. He can restore us. He can do all those things. So what is the basis of your life and how you value things and what you think and where you go and what you do and what you say? And do you listen? Those are the things that give us, that direct our path. Secondly, Galatians chapter 6 verse 8 says this. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall what? Of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, in the Bible, there is a cause and effect. You do something, there is a result. There is a consequence. You do bad, don't expect good to come out of it. You do good, bad should not come out of it. Trees don't do it. Fountains don't do it. The Bible talks about those things. And we should not do it. So, cause and effect in our life. Cause and effect of vanity. If we believe in vain things, our life will be what? Vain and empty and pointless and hopeless. And you can read Ecclesiastes and figure that out. In verses 10 through 11, it says, only by pride. We went through this a couple Sunday nights ago. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. I want what you have. I want my way in the situation. No, I want it my way. No, I want it my way. And just like the church of Corinth, you wind up fighting like kids. But with the what? Well advised is wisdom. Now, well advised means you just don't go to one source. You go to multiple sources and you think about it. And then you come back with a follow-on question. And you get as much advice as you need. See, it's not an instant answer. Wisdom comes from working at it. We keep on seeing diligence, and we keep on seeing not being slothful and all these other things here. Only by pride come a contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by empty means or by vanity or by not working for it shall be what? Diminished. You'll run out because there's no basis for it. But he that gathereth by labor, he that's diligent, will get what? More. You'll increase. So the issue here is, if you're just going to wait for something, if you're going to wait for Publishers Clearing House to solve your life issues and never work because I'm going to win this year, that's vanity, folks. Okay? It might be something to hope for. It might be great if you won, but your chances of winning are almost zero. Bible says, well, Paul, to the Thessalonican church, what did he say? He said, look, he says, you all think that Christ coming back, so you should stop working. Man doesn't work, shouldn't what? Eat. Stop it. Stop it. We should live our lives as if Christ could come back in every day. But we should be diligent because everything we do, we should do what? Heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. Okay? The cause and effect of vanity, that's the short part. But now, the cause and effect of our attitudes. Kind of goes along with chapter 12. So we're going to close this out with 12 attitudes that we need to look at. 12 attitudes that we need to look at toward hope. I am guilty of this with my wife. You know, my wife has come and said, I want this in the house fixed. Can you fix it for me? Yes, I can fix it to you. And a week goes by, and a month goes by. Go ahead, say it. And a year goes by, and more time goes by. And because she hoped that I would get what I needed to get done. She hoped. But when we promise someone something, it says, if you do a vow, what? Defer not to pay it. Because other people are hoping on this. And so look at this. Hope deferred, or hope put off, or hope pushed back, maketh the heart sick. Now I'm going to go, don't ask her if her heart is sick on the fact that I have done some things at the house. Okay? I'll get to it. Okay? I promise. Okay? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, there's people that just keep on pushing off and pushing off and pushing off and pushing off. Don't push off God's hope. Don't push off God's promises. We need to live in them. We have them now. Don't say, I'm going to do this. I'll get my life straight and I'll work for God when I get this in order in my life. Do it now. Because if you push off, you'll make your heart sick. And it says, but when the desire cometh, when you actually do it and you work towards what you're hoping for, or you have the goal in, then it is a what? Tree of life. Something that you can see, something you can count on, something that's fruitful, something you can eat the rewards of it. And so what is your attitude towards promises and towards hope and towards God and the scriptural hope? If you make a lot of promises and don't follow through them, that says a lot about you. Okay? If we say we're a Christian, but we don't believe in the hopes of God's Word, that says a lot too. So what's your attitude towards hope? What's your attitude toward the Word? In verses 13 through 14, it says this. It says, who despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. Now, that's pretty extreme. That's what the Word says, okay? Whoso despises the Word shall be destroyed, but he that what? feareth the commandment or respects the commandment or does the commandment shall be what? Rewarded. It's cause and effect. It's cause and effect. But it's simple. It's simple. But look at Israel. For 2,000 years, God sent His prophets and sent His servants to do this. Obey me. Walk in my way and everything's going to be fine. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. And day in and day out, and day in and day out, the word was there and the hope was there, but it was deferred. And we'll get to it later. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the what? Snares of death. We've seen this with wisdom. If you didn't have wisdom, you get trapped like a bird. So, what's your attitude towards hope? What's your attitude towards the Word? What's your attitude towards understanding? Towards understanding. In verse 15, good understanding giveth favor or blessing. But the way of transgressors is hard. You know, sometimes you want the easy way or you want the hard way. You know, God's will is going to be done. If you walk in His way, you will grow in faith. If you walk away from Him, and you are His child, He will send situations in your life to get you back on the path, and that's hard. And that's hard. So, what's your attitude toward understanding? What's your attitude towards knowledge? In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 6, it says, every, what kind of man? Prudent. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. That just doesn't say, I see it and I know what the words say. That means they use it. They can apply it. They say, oh, that will work over here in this life situation. That'll work over here in this life situation. That'll work for my neighbor. It worked for me. I could show what's happened there. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. It just shows his foolishness. So what is your attitude towards knowledge? To use it? Or to scoff at it. Number 5. Toward the message. And the messenger. Toward the message and the messenger. Verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth, i.e. just falls into the trap, into mischief. But a faithful ambassador is what? Health. So do you see the cause and effect of being a wicked messenger? Versus, you know something? We're ambassadors for Christ. This world, we are not citizens of this world. We are heirs up there. And we represent Christ down here, and we're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. And so what's your attitude towards the message? You know, if you know the good news, and the prophet says, I set you to be a watchman on the wall, and if you don't send the message, what happens? Blood's on your hands. So the issue is, we can have the good news and it's wickedness not to share it. Ooh. We can know the right thing to say and know the truth of a situation, know a solution to the thing. And if you don't say it, that's wicked too. Because no message is a bad message. Number 6. Toward reproof. Now, how many like correction? To be told that you were wrong. Stomps on our pride, doesn't it? And, you know, it's constructive criticism. Okay? Verse 18. Poverty and shame shall come to him that refuseth instruction. How many times has God been doing this? Hello? Hello? Open up. And we've refused it and found out that we get in trouble. Or then you could have the V8 moment. Ha! I could have a V8 and wind up going where you need to go. So it's poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. But he that regardeth reproof, shall be honored. Shall be honored. You know why? Because if we correct our faults, we'll be more like him. And what is God's purpose for us? To be conformed to his image. That is God's will for everyone's life. To be conformed to his image. And sometimes that means that you have to be told that you're doing something wrong. It may be through a message. It may be through reading God's word. Maybe through some friend. We need to evaluate everything against the standard of God's word and say, hey, do I need to do that? If I need to do it, do it. They said, well, that doesn't apply to me. It applies to somebody else, or maybe another convenient day. Then you're rebuking at it. You're rebuffing it. So what's your attitude towards reproof? What's your attitude towards satisfaction? Later on, Proverbs, there are a lot of things that are never satisfied. They always want more and more. We'll get to there. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19, it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So, if we do things that God tells us to do, and we set that as a goal, and we meet that goal, then we get rewarded for it. And you'll feel good about it. You'll be at peace with God with it. But this verse, this last phrase here, but it is not even conceivable in an evil person's mind to not stop doing evil. It doesn't even cross their mind to do good. It's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. So really deep down inside of you, where is your attitude toward being saved? Do you let Christ satisfy you? Or do you let wickedness satisfy you? It's a choice. Number 8, toward companions. Toward companions. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You know something? People rub off on another, on one another. They do. If you're around people, do you know you pick up your own their attitudes and their little habits and little quirks? He that walketh wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil communications corrupt good manners. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? Or what fellowship does the Holy Spirit have with Belial? 1 Corinthians 6. There is none. So, what is your attitude towards companions? Do you have more secular companions than spiritual companions? Who are your closest friends? It should be inside the body of Christ. Because if they're inside the body of Christ, what do? Your closest friends? You share your heart. You share your burdens. And if you're someone that's also spiritual, you'll get spiritual advice. You'll get wise counsel. You get that perspective. If you do it with people of the world, you'll get the world's perspective, and it will corrupt your life. It will. Guaranteed. Number 9. What's your attitude towards good and evil? It should be black and white like it is in God's Word. But we tend to make it gray and light gray and dark gray. And we'll try, and a lot of people try to get as close as they can to doing something they know is wrong and say, I'm okay because I didn't go all the way with it. Verses 21 through 22. Evil pursueth sinners. Satan walks about as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his grandchildren. To his grandchildren. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You know something? You can't take it with you. And your riches will not get you to heaven. And in the end time, guess who rules the heaven? Guess who rules the earth? We do. With Him. And all through the Old Testament, there's promises to Israel about what they're going to get in the end. That's hope. That's hope. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What is your attitude towards your legacy for your children and your grandchildren? In a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. Remember the song of Moses. The song of Moses was supposed to be sung to your kids and to their kids, and you would be, and what was it? What was the song of Moses? The praise of all the things that God had done to the nation of Israel. But if you go and you start reading the first part of Judges, it says, and there arose a generation that knew not God. You know why? Because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Rise up early in the morning, send him down there, walk in my way, oh baby. Didn't do it. A couple of generations down the road, done. So what's your attitude towards good or evil? Should be black and white. What's your attitude towards potential? Okay? Towards potential. In verse 23, it says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. Okay? Or the newly cultivated ground. I guarantee you what will not produce something that is not cultivated. But you know something, in any empty field, there's the potential of a crop. If you do what? Prepare the land, plant the seed, and take care of it. There's potential in each and every one of us if we allow God to soften and till our heart, plant the seed in here, and then allow Him to nurture it. He likened the nation of Israel to a vineyard. He said, hey, I made you a vineyard. I did everything I could. I planted you in good earth. I hedged it. I took the weeds around. I built a fence around it so the animals wouldn't get in. And then I went in, and lo and behold, I found wild grapes. And God asked a hypothetical question. How did that happen? How did it happen in Matthew 13 where the seed is sowed and the enemy comes in and sows tares and then all of a sudden you have wheat and then you have weeds? How that happen? There's potential in the tillage, but you got to have the ground tilled and you have to have that seed planted and you got to grow a crop. Because if you're lazy and you don't do anything about your land and your crop and your heart, nothing will happen. So what is your attitude towards the potential that God has given you, your family, your church, our church? It says, but there is this destroyed for want of judgment. But a person who has land and never does anything, never thinks about doing anything with it, it's not going to be usable. Towards discipline. We'll go through this one. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasten him betimes. Go read Hebrews. For whoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I know when I was growing up, I know this is going to hurt you more than hurt me. And nah, I didn't believe that. But you know something? I can only remember three times my dad spanked me in my entire life. Because I didn't want it. And I respected it. And I respected what he said. It's about the same amount of time for my mom. She was taller then. Okay? But the issue is that I love my mom and dad. Most people think I am off, but I'm not off. Okay? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that doesn't discipline her kids, you're not loving them because you're not correcting them. And part of wisdom is knowing what is right and what is wrong and being corrected with this. Because a fool scoffs at rebuke. You see what happens when you go back to the first part of this chapter? And if you never correct your children, you raise them up as the fact that no one's ever going to tell me anything. We got a society growing up like that today. But he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. And lastly, towards sufficiency. Towards sufficiency. Proverbs 13, verse 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, the last verse, it says this: I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So what are your attitudes towards all these things? Are we learning the lessons we need to learn? Are we learning the lessons we need to learn? My goal is to encourage you to follow God's Word. To show you that God is talking to us daily. His message is the same. We need to follow it. His message is life. We need to do it. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to see what you want us to learn tonight. Father, help us to be submissive to that, Lord, and that we would follow your instruction. We thank you. We give you this time. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Every soul by sin.